Picking up a six-pack of beer on the way to the party is easy. But picking the right beer, even easier. Because with great taste, only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs, Miller Lite was brewed to be enjoyed from first to last. Miller Lite. Hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
Gridiron General Derrick Dooley, who once said, and I quote, "The one thing Tennessee always does, they always kick the shit out of Vandy." And Tennessee kicked the shit out of Vandy tonight as the Volunteers emerge victorious. What was the final day? Maybe 61-40, something like that. It was a total massacre inside Memorial Arena. And the streak comes to an end. Vanderbilt had made a three in every game since the three-point line came into effect, I believe, in 1987. They do not make a three tonight. That streak is over. And in a weird way, that's almost as satisfying as winning the actual game itself.
I know. Now, the final score was 66-45. Vols get the 20-point victory. Jordan Bowden, your leading scorer, with 21 points on the night.
Wow. Tennessee just taking a terrible Vanderbilt squad. I mean, they might be getting set to throw up another 0-18 in league play because they are awful. And, you know, I don't want to pass judgment on Jerry Stackhouse too soon, but it's not like they're completely devoid of talent. Saban Lee has been a nice player for – this is his junior season. He's been around for a while now. He's played a lot of basketball. And Scottie Pippen Jr. can play. Like – there's no excuse for them being as bad as they looked today. And I don't want to be negative Nancy about it, but I put this more on the lines of them being that bad than us turning a corner or finding something special or anything like that. I don't think we played particularly well, especially in the first half.
You got some shots going in the second half to where, I mean, there was one point you were 10 of 11. Like, after what we saw the first half, it was 21-20, and you kind of go on that sort of a shooting spree. And they weren't difficult shots either. I mean, Tennessee was moving the ball around. They were getting to the hoop, and you just finally saw what happens whenever you're trying to get everybody involved and you're just making sure to make quality passes and you're not turning the ball over.
Yeah, it was not a game that they'll be showing on clinic reels anytime soon. It was not an aesthetically pleasing game to watch by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a Tennessee win, and the Volunteers improved to 11-6 overall, 3-2 back above 500 in conference play, and a very winnable game coming up Tuesday night. It's a late start, 9 o'clock. Ole Miss comes to town, but if you can win that one and, you know, give you some breathing room in conference play up to 4-2 and 12-6 headed to Kansas, then, you know, you've got still a I don't know if it's a puncher's chance or just a prayer of making the tournament, which, I don't know. Maybe I'm a fool, but I'm still there's still that piece of my fan's mind that's holding out hope of making the tournament being an actual thing that exists and a possibility.
Yeah, it's still out there. Can still hang on right now. Vanderbilt's last SEC win, March 3rd, 2018.
I mean, that program has bottomed out. That program has absolutely bottomed out. And I know the losing Darius Garland last year, obviously, submarined their season. Aaron Nesmith is a big loss for them this year, but I mean, there's no excuse to look like that, man. I mean, we are not a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but we looked like one tonight. I don't know. Am I selling us short? Did you know? Maybe it's one of those things where just seeing the ball go in a bunch of times for Jordan Bowden, who has 21 tonight, 7 of 11. Maybe just, you know, having a confidence builder And you look at Josiah James, who I thought played really well tonight. Only 6 points, but he had 9 rebounds and 5 assists and 3 blocks on the night. You know, he's turning into a really nice player. Eve Pons has 12, 5 of 7 from the field. One of his patented monster dunks tonight for the Vols. There are certainly some things that, you know, you hope gives confidence, because here's the thing, Davey, while we figure out where does Vescovi fit, where does Plavsic fit, these new pieces that we've gotten halfway through the season, you're going to have to win some games ugly. I thought this was a game we were going to have to win ugly. I'm stunned that we won by 21.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, that's a hell of a second half. You're up one going into halftime, so yeah.
But you're going to have to – I mean, it's not going to be this easy. You know, Ole Miss, I know they're struggling, but they're not as bad as Vanderbilt. So, I mean, they're going to give you a tougher game. But it's a game Tennessee will probably be favored to win. And, again, you know, hey, if you had told me when the Lamonte Turner news dropped that he was out for the season, that, hey, going into that Kansas game, you're going to be 12-6, 4-2 in SEC play – I'd be like, all right, yeah. I mean, I'll take that. Like, I can work with that, because there was another thought that, man, this season might spiral out of control after that. You know, you go back to after that Wisconsin game, and fans are sitting there thinking, man, you know, lose a close one at home to Memphis, let a Wisconsin team that wasn't ranked at the time come in and, you know, just push you around in your gym. Like, the season's over. And some people might still feel that way. Some people might still feel that, you know, this is an NIT team at best. But I feel like, you know, if you can – and I don't harbor much illusions of winning a week from today.
Yeah.
But if you can come through that and start to get it together a little bit, if we can cut down on the turnovers, which were – a problem again at times today. We had 18 turnovers tonight. That's still way too many. If we can just figure that part of it in and of itself, you know, I mean, you go out there tonight and you shoot, I want to say a decent percentage from the 53% from the field. You hold the opponent to 23.5%. Like, if you just cut down on the turnovers alone, you win the game by 30. Tonight. And keep in mind, like, we got drilled by Georgia earlier this week. So to come and be able to put that behind us and go out there and get this dub tonight, it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, Russ, you were kind of talking about it a little bit during your halftime periscope, but just college basketball as a whole right now, you just really don't know what to expect night in and night out. And like, I mean, you said you go from getting beat by 20 to Georgia to then flipping it around and beating Vanderbilt by 20. And it's just one of those things to where it's, you can see, like, any given night, it doesn't really matter who the opponent is. You've already seen a lot of upsets so far. So as far as Tennessee staying around on that bubble and just trying to keep fighting, keep making plays, if they can just finish, I guess, like, I think we're 14 games left on the season now. Mm-hmm. If you can try and get 9 or 10 there, I mean, that'll definitely put you to where you should be. At least get one win in the SEC tournament and you're in. But again, like, it's just one of those things. Like, I don't know what's going to shake out for a lot of these other teams. And when it comes to the tournament, we always talk about, it's like, all right, you kind of just need some of these teams that are locks to win their conference tournament. You don't want to see anybody come in there and kind of upset to push one of those automatic locks down a rung to where you're moving the bubble a little bit, which that could hurt Tennessee if you get into that situation later on. So it's going to be a very exciting final 2.5-3 months of basketball before we get to tournament. And so if you're the Vols, you just got to keep putting them together one game at a time.
Voluntary Reaction is presented by our friends at Miller Lite. We appreciate them for their support here on Fan Run Radio. We open up the phone lines to you, 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get on board. Call 546-8200 if you want to talk Tennessee basketball with us. Let's start things off with Rod. Hello, Rod. You're on Voluntary Reaction.
Hello! Hello. How are you doing this evening?
We're doing well, Rod. What's up, man?
I mean, I tell you what, that felt good there, didn't it?
Hey, beating the crap out of Vanderbilt never gets old, my friend.
Russ and I were just sitting here laughing before that game ended. We actually had more fun in Vanderbilt just losing the 3-point streak.
That 3-point thing, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, that was exciting to just kind of like, because you could tell for a while that the players had no clue what was happening.
They figured it out with about a minute to go,
and everyone like they had a wide open dunk. It was probably like I think Dane said their best play of the game, and then everybody's just like still like booing.
Yeah, but I scared Rocky there at the end of the game. I jumped up when they shot that last one
because
I didn't want to go in. I was getting all pumped up. I'm with you. I was more into that than the game. Well, that was funny, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was great. It's like having, the over-under on a meaningless game. You're just sitting there, games decided, and yet you're hanging on every play. I don't know that one that he made that they waved off, they never went back and really – they showed it one more time, but they didn't go back and really analyze it.
I thought he got it off.
I mean, it kind of looked like it, right? You can't go back and change that now.
Well, boys, I tell you what, I said, I know you end up talking to him on the morning show all the time. You know, he's come and go with Bowden, so I was glad to see him get going again there. And Russ, I think you said it now. We got it. These next couple SEC games coming up, we can't lose to the bottom half of the league anymore if we want to stay on the bubble. We got to show up. We got to have Bowden play well, and give us a chance to have, to have an opportunity there at March, especially because, boys, the end of that schedule that we got's tough, too. Now, that last 2 weeks is, I mean, that's the hell of the SEC that we'll be going through. So we got to stay on there, boys. But hey, I'm out here. I'll be out here in the barn with Angus. Davey, good luck tomorrow. Hopefully we'll tighten up. We'll talk to you next week, boys.
Thank you, Rod. Always good to hear from you, buddy.
That one of your morning show regulars?
Yeah, Rod's a great caller. We always appreciate Rod calling in. Angus is his...
cow?
Yeah, prize steer. So he's got two dogs. He's got Rocky and Top. So...
Okay.
Yeah. I heard him mention Rocky. I went to the phone, so I didn't get to hear the rest of that part. But yeah, Rod, he's got some. He's got Gary and Juanita down there at the facilities and Pratt Pavilion. He's got a little bit of an inside scoop going on down there.
Okay, I like it, man. I like his motor. He's got a hot one, man. 865-546-8200. The one thing I'll say about Tennessee and Barnes, and where we're at in terms of bracketology and all that, we don't have a really bad loss. I don't know where – I haven't kept up with Cincinnati and Wisconsin kind of where they're at. But in terms of name programs, I mean, certainly like there's no shame in losing to them.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't lose to a team like this.
Yeah. I mean, you really have those two coming up with your next two SEC games. You got Ole Miss. They're the game. I can't remember if that's Wednesday. That's Tuesday. You play them Tuesday at 9 o'clock. You are back at home. And then Kansas, you do have to go on the road there for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And I don't know if y'all have heard this, but College Game Day is actually going to be in Lawrence for that one, which I found to be a little surprising. But and then you come back and you're playing Texas A&M, who they haven't exactly looked lights out this season either. They're 8-8 on the year, but you're hosting that one again. So that's two. We like to say we don't call them must wins, but they can't lose.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, Tennessee 3-2 into, the SEC is kind of gone crazy again. Kentucky goes down to Arkansas and wins. That's a huge win for them. Auburn, after starting the season off 15-0, has lost two straight. Florida drilled them.
Yeah, it's like two games by 20 almost.
Yeah, so Alabama looking pretty good. All of a sudden, I think they put it on Konzo Martin in Missouri earlier today. So Tennessee's right there in the thick of it. I don't harbor any illusions of winning the league or anything like that. But, you just want to stay on the right side of 500 or close to it. And like I say, not have any just terrible losses, because that's the stuff that'll hurt you. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You want to jump in here? Let's get T-Carp on next. T-Carp, you're on Voluntary Reaction. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Good evening. I find it really interesting that we seemingly did pretty well. I'm, like you said, Russell, I'm not going to give this team, you know, say we're just a bunch of world beaters. But, you know, I think Bowden having 20 points obviously is an answer to something. I just find it interesting that Vescovi only had 5 points and we did pretty well. Did, you know, looking at his assist, he had 2 assists. I mean, I don't know. Like, is Vescovi the answer, or do we want the ball to flow through Bowden? I mean, Josiah Jordan James had 5 assists. I don't know where we take this. You know, what can we take from this and say this is the recipe for success?
Vescovi again with 5 turnovers in only 25 minutes, which is actually an improvement for him. I think he was averaging a turnover every 3 or 4 minutes the past couple of games. So, 1 every 5 minutes is actually an improvement there. But yeah, I mean, like he's obviously adjusting to the American game. And the thing about, like, he's not, you know, he's not terribly athletic, you know, and guys are just getting up in his shirt and not giving him any space to operate. And maybe it takes some time to adjust to that. I think he's got worlds of potential, but I would imagine, like, with a full season under his belt and a full off season to work on the things, on his weaknesses, I would hope that he's a much better player next year than he is right now.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. It was nice to see though him get a 3-ball in and nice to see James kind of work it a little bit. James had 10 rebounds. So, I mean, he, for being a guard, I mean, he's out there getting it. Fulkerson had a good game. Pons had, you know, Fulkerson had 12 and Pons had 12. Do we need to run the ball through Bowden, you know, to Fulkerson, Pons, and then have James and Vescovi kind of be your, you know, your not, I guess, your shooting guards, your guys that get you an occasional 5-10 points instead of just trying to run the ball through James and Vescovi? Like, I don't know.
I mean, T-Carp, I'm just of the philosophy, like, you try to get it inside at least once every possession, just so if you can get it in the paint, it has the defense collapse in and you got shooters wide open on the outside. Or if you do get it in the paint, you got a lane to the basket, take it. So, I mean, we've seen that Fulkerson, even though he doesn't get a ton of shots per game, his shooting percentage on the year is, it might still be, I know at one point it was number one in the league. So just, I'm all fine with that. And you did get to see Euros kind of make some moves there towards the end. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to hit that at a consistent clip or not, but at least, I mean, you're glad to see it. And again, like with Vescovi and Plasvich, you know they've not really had a chance to blend with the team. I know Plasvich has been here longer, but it's still as far as actual playing time versus what you do in practice. So maybe having a little bit more time to kind of build that team chemistry, that could change a lot of things, but at least you got the bodies to go to right now. So, but to answer your initial question, yeah, try to get it into the middle at least, or in the paint at some point each possession.
Well, real quick, boy, it just warm my heart to see Vandy fans suffer. Like, it makes me feel so good. Is that something I need to talk to my counselor about? How disturbed am I? Like I'm so happy. Like, just seeing the grimace on their faces.
Knowing that they wanted it. Like, they haven't won an SEC game since Obama was in office or whatever the streak is now. And, like, all they want is their stupid 3-point streak to stay alive. They're so invested in it. And to go in there and just take that away from them, too. Oh, it's sweet, T-Carp.
Oh,
give me all the salty Vanderbilt tears. I love it.
It was phenomenal. All right, quickly switching to NFL.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm cheering for your AFC. I'm cheering for your Titans. Mm-hmm. Me being a big Packers fan, I would love to see a Packers-Titan NFL. I just don't know if my Packers have – I just don't know if they have it for 49ers because the 49ers have such a good team just all around. Your thoughts on that, and I'll hop off.
Well, I mean, the Packers, the Niners beat the crap out of them in a Monday night game earlier. So it's not like, that game was close. I'm a little play here, play there, you know, tweak that. I mean, it just, you know, you got to play the game. We'll see. You don't know. San Francisco could have a bunch of turnovers or something like that. But it's a line of scrimmage game at the end of the day,
yeah.
And that seems to just be all 49ers.
Yeah, that defensive line for the 49ers are going to try to get at Aaron Rodgers early and often. And if you're the Packers, I feel like you got to try to like get some trick plays going, because I mean, if you just play your typical game, you're not gonna be able to beat them. And oh my God, that's game. Sorry, T Carp. I've been watching.
Louisville has gone into Cameron Indoor Arena and stomped on the throats of the Dukies. How does it feel, Davey?
Feels bad.
How does it feel?
This ruins my streak of watching Duke games on voluntary reaction and them always coming out with a win. So that kind of hurts. But to get back to your initial conversation, T Carp, yeah, like if you're the Packers, you got to throw something at them early and often. As a Titans fan, I want to see the Packers. Like, I mean, I know that the 49ers, they match up better with the Titans than I believe that the Packers will if the Titans were to win. But at the same time, I mean, if you're Titans general manager John Robinson, you look kind of like a genius if it turns out being the Titans versus the Packers, because his final two candidates to take the head coaching job for the Titans a couple of years ago was Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur. And you chose Mike Vrabel as the head coach, and you were able to steal LaFleur from the Rams to come in and be your offensive coordinator. And I know things didn't work out great last year, but again, a lot of that might be more on Marcus Mariota than it is on Matt LaFleur. So if you're your offensive coordinator last year and your head coach are playing against each other in the Super Bowl, I mean, that looks good for the general manager and just those teams in general. So that's...
I definitely, as a Packers fan, I have enjoyed Matt LaFleur a lot better than McCarthy. Good luck to all of you Cowboys fans with McCarthy, because if he couldn't do it with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, I'm not saying Dak Prescott's a bad quarterback, but he's no Aaron Rodgers. I'll see y'all.
See you, T-Carp. Have a good night, buddy.
Tennessee defeats Vanderbilt 66-45 tonight. Vanderbilt's 3-point streak. It's pretty impressive. You've made a 3-pointer in every single game. I wonder how many games Tennessee has had where they haven't made a 3-pointer. I mean, it's probably pretty rare, but I bet we've done it at least a dozen or so times. And for them never to, and they've always got 3-point shooters.
Did it happen in Conzo Ball at all?
Probably. I'd say it probably happened multiple times in Conzo Ball. I'm sure Kevin O'Neill had a couple of whiffs.
Yeah, that's a stat. Like, I think they said UNLV and Princeton are the only two teams left that have been able to do that since the 3-point line had been instilled in
college
basketball.
They still got the streak going?
Yeah, they said Vanderbilt was one of three teams. I'm pretty sure it was UNLV and Princeton, but I could be wrong on that.
Tennessee improving tonight to 11-6 on the year, 3-2 in conference play. Vanderbilt falls below 500 overall, now 8-9 and 0-4 in conference play. And if tonight is any indication, and if they don't get Aaron Nesmith back, they might be headed for another 0-18. They might be headed for 36 consecutive conference losses, and that's the kind of stuff that can just bury a program. I mean, I know Jerry Stackhouse is still a big name, and they're probably high school recruits that do remember the tail end of his NBA career and know who that is. But if you're a high school recruit, why would you even consider going to Vanderbilt based on what they've done for the past 2 years? I mean, they have completely fallen off the map. And you say what you will about Vanderbilt's history as a football school, as a basketball school, it's pretty good. I mean, it's probably pretty similar to Tennessee's basketball history. I mean, they've probably been to as many NCAA tournaments as we have over the past 30 years or whatever. But they have completely fallen off the map in a time when every game is televised and recruiting is as cutthroat as ever, that you don't want to fall off the map. And I know it breaks Tennessee fans' heart, but Vanderbilt, a complete non-factor in SEC basketball right now. Back to the phones. D.R. Vall is up next. Hello, D.R. Vall.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
So how fitting is it back in 2017, we're one of two football teams that never finished less than 5-7. They put us at 4-8, so we end their 3-point streak.
It's I don't know if we're all even, but it's sweet.
No, we're definitely not all even, but at least we got something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like T-Carp said, just to see all those mouth breathers out there. I mean, that's all they had. You know, they know they suck. They know they've gotten their asses kicked tonight. They 0-18 last year, 0-4 so far this year. Like, that's all they had. That stupid streak is all they had, and we took that from them too.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely felt good. Now, I guys, I missed the first half because, you know, when you got little kids, every Saturday's full birthday parties. But, I mean, did Barnes finally say a cuss word to the team at halftime, or what happened?
It's a good question. I don't know if it's so much like he lit a fire under us or anything like that. Is like Vanderbilt just ran out of gas and they're not very good. I mean, how many times did we beat them down the floor for an open court layup off dead balls too?
Second half, at least six or seven. Well, there's seems like
that one streak where Bowden had like three layups in a row.
Yeah,
I mean, they just didn't want it.
And you hope it's kind of, it's like you said earlier, Russ. I know it's just Vanderbilt, but surely to God, you hope this kind of getting us on a roll of hitting our shots. I mean, it was nice to see a 3-pointer go in.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical that Bowden has turned a corner. Like, for me to reestablish belief in Jordan Bowden, he's going to have to do it in a game that matters, in a game that's close, in a game against a good opponent. And, you know, I was never expecting 30-point games out of him routinely or anything like that. But if we're going to be good, he has to routinely get 15 points or so a game, you know. And I guess he had 21 tonight. I mean, that's fantastic. You can't come home and disappear against Ole Miss, and you can't disappear next week against Kansas, or we're going to get run. We might get run anyway, but we'll get super run if Bowden comes out there and does his disappearing act again.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is the first time I've gotten to see Euros play. Defensively, and I don't know a lot about basketball, but defensively I wasn't impressed. But, I mean, I heard his first game he couldn't seem to hit hook shots, but offensively in the paint he seemed to play okay.
I will say for the Vols tonight, the biggest thing they had going for them was that Vanderbilt didn't want to be too physical.
Hmm. Yeah.
That was something where you've kind of seen the last couple of games we have just – that they've beat us as far as just getting to loose balls, just getting really just rebounds and securing them. Because, I mean, there had been plenty of times where we had just seen the defense kind of come over there and just take it right out of our hands or smack it and then make it to where it's a scramble for it on the floor. And you didn't really see that tonight. The Vols were strong with it, but I don't know if I want to go so much if that was just the Vols being very protective of it and just being aware, or if it was just Vanderbilt just didn't really even try.
And you're kind of shocked because lack of us being physical lately seems like they'd be overly physical to actually have a shot tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a soft team. And I think, you know, Barnes didn't call our team soft, but he said we had a bunch of soft plays after the Georgia game. So I'm guessing that was probably a point of emphasis in practice was, you know, we got to be the more physical team. And we kind of did that, I think, in the South Carolina game a week ago and the Missouri game before that. Like, we were the more physically aggressive team. So I don't know if, like, that's the norm, and maybe the Georgia game was, you know, maybe that was the aberration. But I guess we'll find out going forward.
Yeah, and Russ, is Bear going to bend the knee, or is his arthritis going to prevent his knee from doing that?
No, he's not going to bend the knee.
He's going down all the way. They could win the Super Bowl. He's still just going to be complaining about it.
Exactly.
Well, I know I've got a bunch of people coming over, and we will be having Periscope or your Periscope pulled up, Russ. And I hope that we win for not just the state of Tennessee, but the state of Qatar as well, whatever he calls it. I'm never going to let that go. That's the best Periscope I've ever seen. I was rolling when that kid came on.
Oh, man, that was classic. What was that dude's name? Kim Yu or Woop Kim or
Q-Yum?
Q-Yum, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sound like a porn star or something. But, guys, I'm going to get off here, and I'm hoping everybody tightens up, and we get a W tomorrow. See you guys.
What would a Titans trip to the Super Bowl mean for just the state? I mean, like, you know, it's been 20 years since the last trip.
I don't know how many people here are fans of hockey, but when the Preds made the Stanley Cup, like, you saw, like, just the whole state kind of come out for that.
Yeah, and that was stupid hockey. Like, yeah. Who cares about that?
Yeah, so it's like, if you can see the Titans, it's crazy because, I mean, it's lining up. If the Titans do win tomorrow, they're going to the Super Bowl. It's basically 20 years since the last time they went. Because you went in the 99 season, which turned into 2000 in the playoffs. And so here, I mean, it's going to be bedlam.
At this point, man, I just enjoy watching this team so much, talking about the Titans, that, you know, I'm going to be disappointed if we lose. I'm not going to be devastated if we lose. Like, it's just, you know, we're playing with house money since the first game, really, since the first round of the playoffs. And
If you're looking back to week six, just making the playoffs.
Yeah, you know.
Two and four. I think they'll be the first team in NFL history to make the Super Bowl that started at 2-4 if they were to win.
At Denver, where we just – I think that was the game where – that was the last Mariota game.
Yeah, right? they put Tannehill in like halfway through the third quarter. You still – it might have been the fourth, but you lost it 16 to nothing.
But still didn't score.
Yeah, 16 to nothing what that score was.
At that point, you're thinking not only is the season over, but Mike Vrabel looks like a bum. People are giving up on him.
He had four straight bad coaching games, really, if you want to break it down.
Arthur Smith looks like a fish out of water as an offensive coordinator. Dean Pease looks like the game has passed him by. I mean, it's just...
It's like, well, you brought him out of retirement. You know, like, to make the Arthur Smith comparison, it was kind of like, just to relate it to Vol fans, you just hire old Larry Scott from within, and it's just like, you can tell he's not qualified for the position, because, like, Arthur Smith had been with the Titans for like the last 6 years, but he had just kind of been in like a assistant role. And then he finally got to be tight ends coach for a little bit and just worked his way up. And then it's like, oh, tight ends coach, offensive coordinator. I've seen this one before with Tennessee football, you know, but it's been anything like what we saw here in Knoxville a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So to come from that low point to taking out the Patriots in Foxborough, just smashing the Ravens, who are, you know, media darlings all year, and just completely dismantling them to get to the AFC Championship game. And now, you know, here's the other media darlings. And I don't know if we're going to win tomorrow or not, Davey. I mean, I think our friend Joe Rexroad of The Athletic put it best earlier this week when he said, I don't not think they're going to win.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, no, you look at on paper. No, the Chiefs should win going away.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's going to happen, man. I think the Titans are going to go in there and just punch them right in the nose. And I think it's going to be a game going into the fourth quarter. And I like the Titans' chances.
I mean, I've said it since this run kind of began. It's like the Titans are a second half team. As long as you keep it close in the first half, I feel good that they're going to close down the stretch and pull out the upset. And I mean, we could go stat for stat. Andy Reid has just not been good against the Titans. There's no other way to put it. It's like really when you look at Andy Reid teams, I don't think they really play well against teams that just are on the ground a lot, you know? Like whenever teams are just trying to like do smash mouth football, I feel like he kind of struggles with even though I know he's more of an offensive guy, but just whoever he's got as the defensive coordinator, they just have difficulty stopping it. And with Derrick Henry right now, he's gotten more fuel added to the fire after Frank Clark made some dumbass comments, which we'll get to in a bit. But, like, maybe – I mean, Andy Reid's definitely due one, but one of the stats was whenever –
due one what? A Super Bowl win or another fuck-up?
Well, there's only been one coach in NFL history to lose back-to-back conference championships, and that's Andy Reid at his time during – Philadelphia.
Oh, man, the Tennessee basketball Twitter account throwing some major shade at Vandy. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. What they got?
They got the final score, and it says, easy as 1-2. There's no threes tonight for Vanderbilt. No threes. Oh, man, I like it. I like it. 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get on the voluntary reaction. 546-8200. We'll continue to talk hoops with you. Eventually, that was just a teaser, a little Titans Talk teaser, if you will. That's probably how the show is going to end. But if you want to talk basketball, go ahead and jump in now. 865-546-8200, your number to jump on board. And, yeah, Tennessee. Vanderbilt was the tied with, ironically, that Georgia team that kicked the crap out of us Wednesday were the worst defensive team in the league.
Is that, like, across just SEC play so far? Is that for, like, the whole year?
I believe it is for the whole year. They're okay. Giving up 73 points a game. Which, I guess they improved tonight, only giving up 66.
Well, it helps whenever you hold the team to 21 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, I mean, I was not thinking this is how this game is going to end after we're sitting here watching that first half and it's just sloppy. It's turnover after turnover, miss shot after miss shot. Nobody's able to get anything going. It's just like, can somebody do something to kind of string together a run? And you just never really had it. I mean, it felt like forever. Russ, you said it. It was like a football score. We're just sitting there at 21-14 forever.
Let's talk to John. He's a Chiefs fan. Wants to jump in the fray here. Hello, John.
How are y'all?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
I can't wait for tomorrow.
Well, you're a longtime Chiefs fan. You've never seen your team in a Super Bowl unless you're about 60 years old, which you don't sound like you're 60, 70 years old. What would a win tomorrow mean to you as a Chiefs fan, John?
It would be I'd be speechless. It'd be incredible. After 2015 on a painful phantom holding call against the Steelers.
Now let me ask you this. You're obviously excited about the game. Are you nervously excited?
Yes, because Derrick Henry, obviously.
Well, and just, I mean, like you said, you were here last year. You've been here before several times through the years. You're expected to win. You're a 7.5-point favorite. Like, if the Chiefs don't win, not only is it a disappointment, it's kind of an embarrassment, right? And you're going to direct a lot of, you know, anger at your head coach. And, you know, he will have a reputation as a choker where it's like, and I'm not trying to talk trash or anything, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
Like the Titans, I believe, have the psychological edge of we're playing with house money, nothing to lose. We're going to go in there and play. Like, you know what we're going to do. We're going to line up and hand it to Derrick Henry 30
right.
times. And if you can stop it, fine. If not, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, the Chiefs have to win tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I would really call it like an embarrassment. If we lost last weekend to the Texans, then I would have called that an embarrassment. But it would definitely be sort of a failure to the year because you were so close last year. But yeah, I was just ready for it. Nervously excited.
Does it help, John, if like justifying it of just like, man, the Titans just got hot, like nobody in the league was going to be able to stop them? Like,
yeah, I think it does. Giants a few years ago, it'd be kind of like that run they had.
Well, John, I know, good luck. I know you mentioned earlier, well, I mean, when I say earlier, like before the playoffs started, like the Titans were the one team you did not want to see in the wild card round. And of course, like the Patriots got beat by the Dolphins. Chiefs were able to clinch the first round bye. So, well, at least we're getting the matchup now. Obviously, both teams have had good playoff runs so far. So, you know what I want to happen tomorrow, but you're a good listener. And yeah, you're always respectful, so I'll be respectful to you, and I wish you and your Chiefs a good game tomorrow, John.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Good luck to y'all too.
I'm just not used to that kind of courteousness on the. It's not the way we typically play things on
it's
the
not
drive,
how.
But
yeah,
it's fine.
There's a few people I'll give it to, but John he does a good job of keeping it civil, and I mean I'll be honest, like I just right now I'm feeling on a high, and I just don't see anybody stopping the Derrick Henry train right now. So,
well, I feel like, you know, he mentioned like the years the Giants got on those runs. And, you know, didn't I think both of their Super Bowls were like they lost five or six games. They never had that season where they just went 13-3 and then, you know, home field and just like I feel like that's the Titans this year. I feel like, you know, the Titans are the team that muddied around for a while and like did just enough to get on the playoffs. But once they did get to the playoffs, like taking it to another level, man.
Yeah.
The Titans did not play the way they've played the last 2 weeks. I don't think at any point in the season, like it's become almost a completely different team.
Yeah, like, I mean, Derrick Henry, like he didn't do a whole lot at the beginning of the season. And I don't know. I mean, obviously having Ryan Tannehill come in and be able to really use that play action to his benefit. But there was just something that just kind of like that they just hit a switch at halfway through the season. And the offensive line started playing better. Like, I mean, Mariota took a lot of sacks. Tannehill even took some sacks early on whenever he was getting adjusted. But I don't know what it was for just like, I mean, right now the left side of the line is playing incredible. Like they're averaging more yards per carry on that side than any other team in football this season. When you're looking at the free agent addition of Roger Saffold, bringing him over from the Rams, Taylor Lewan is earning his paycheck. I know a lot of people don't like him. Outside of the Titans. And there are even some Titans fans that are not happy with Taylor Lewan a lot of the times because it seems like everything's going well and then occasionally he'll get a dumb false start holding or personal foul penalty. But
and he does.
So far, like throughout the playoffs, like that's the one thing that the Titans have done, and I pray they continue to do it tomorrow. I'm very interested with Tony Corrente, his crew calling the game tomorrow. Will there be a lot of holding calls? Because as long as the Titans don't get behind the sticks on first down with like a dumb penalty or something, you're averaging 7 yards to carry through the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I think we all would like to see Tannehill throw it a little bit more because he's been good. But on the other hand, this is just sort of what the Titans do. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to start up and, everybody in the world knows you're going to give it to Derrick Henry on first down. You got to do it until somebody stops it.
Yeah. And as far as an injury report goes, Chris Jones, who's probably the best lineman, defensive tackle for the Chiefs, his injury is a calf. Yeah, he's questionable. They're looking game time decision. They said they're not going to do anything to jeopardize his long-term health. And, I mean, if it's going to be 21 degrees, it's going to be stiff. It's going to be stiff.
Kelsey re-aggravated a hamstring last week towards the end of that game.
I think
I'm sure
it was his a hamstring or a knee.
I thought it was a hamstring.
Okay, it might have
been. Wrong. But if you ask me what scares me, obviously Mahomes just throwing all over the place. But like Kelsey is just unguardable, so that's the one I'm watching. A little piece of news coming out of Nashville. Tennessee walk-on Jacob Fleshman was awarded a scholarship in the locker room after the game.
Nice.
So I guess he gets to...
do you know what year he is?
I'm sure he's a senior.
I was about to say, I can't...
I don't think we would take a scholarship.
I wish him well, but it's
a nice little reward here. Your last semester of school is on us.
Well, congratulations, Jacob.
But hasn't the second semester already begun? Can we go back in time and, like, can we pay him for the fall semester? I mean, how does that work? I don't know. Because that seems like...
I don't know as far as rewarding...
It's a nice gesture, nevertheless.
Either way, it's you get to say, you earned it, you know?
Tennessee tight ends coach Brian Niedermeyer, about 43 minutes ago as the game was coming to an end on Twitter, nothing like seeing a little in-state rivalry surrender cobra on a Saturday night. Hashtag GBO, hashtag our state, hashtag sorry, not sorry. Needs getting a little salty on Twitter. I like it.
Man, that crowd, I kind of wish I was there just to kind of experience Vanderbilt fans just going crazy knowing, like, shoot the damn three, shoot it. And it's just like these kids are just like, hey, I got a wide open lane to the basket. I'm going to go dunk it.
What do you do if you're Jerry Stackhouse in that situation?
You would think he knows, right?
Well, I'm talking about from the perspective of it's year one and you're trying to establish your culture. I think like bowing to fan pressure to sustain some obscure record that you probably didn't even know existed at the time is probably not the message you want to be sending to your team. On the other hand, that is a lot of pressure when the fans are literally booing you every time you drive to the rack.
I mean, it's one thing if the game is on the line, but if you're down 20, like, are they at the point? Like, I mean, I don't really know any Vanderbilt fans to where I can ask them, like, hey, what's the fan atmosphere like? Are they like already kind of out, like not even showing up at all for any of these games? So it's like, it's
their
like
in-state rival and that place was half empty.
It's like, well, that's sad because like a lot of those Tennessee Vol fans. So it's one of those things of, man, if you want to put asses in the seats, like you kind of got to meet them halfway a little bit, like give them something. So, I mean, if you're Jerry Stackhouse, you're not in a favorable situation, no matter how you slice it.
Somebody sent me a thing. It said Fleshman's a junior.
Oh.
I guess scholarships are 1 year renewable. Surely we are not taking the scholarship we have to play with in the offseason that we're either going to use on Dylan Cardwell or a grad transfer or another transfer or something like that, and using it on a walk-on who, like, if he was going to play.
Unless Barnes just said, man, I got my money, fuck it. You know, I don't know.
If we were ever going to play him, like we would have played him 2 weeks ago when we only had eight dudes on scholarship, right? Yeah.
I can't see that being the case at all. There's no way they're going to jeopardize having a guy that could come in and be able to give them immediate minutes, probably at a position they're really going to need help with next year. And just basically, like, I don't want to be mean to Jacob, but like throw that scholarship away.
Teresa Walker of the Associated Press says, Stackhouse says they knew what they were getting into coming to Vandy and knowing they'd have to build a foundation, and he wasn't happy Vandy fans booed because the doors weren't making threes. Says they get enough of that on the road.
Ooh.
Stackhouse already chirping a little bit at the Vandy fans.
You know, I thought that was interesting, just speaking of threes, like, really you didn't have to in the second half, but according to ESPN, we were 1 of 8 from three. Like, I know we weren't hitting them early. I felt like we took more attempts than that, but
so only 1 3 was made.
Yeah, for
the
whole
game is Viscovi.
1 of 33 for both teams combined.
Here's a little number that jumps out to me as something I like. Bowden gets his 21 points. He only took 2 threes. Missed them both. He only took two. So he was getting to the hoop. I feel like most of his shots were at the rim. He missed a few. I'll feel like I saw him shoot many mid-range jumpers tonight. Had a lot of layups.
I mean, that was the thing. Like, the second half, you're just getting to the basket, which obviously, if you have that opportunity, you take it. So
thought Camwa looked pretty good tonight.
Better than what we had seen,
It's 2 of 2 from the field. 4 points, 4 rebounds.
And again, like, I mean, that kind of goes back to what I was saying of he had been kind of bullied, it seemed like, in the games past, and I just didn't see the physicality coming from Vanderbilt's team. So that might – hopefully that kind of helps him a little bit, though. It's like just being able to kind of see you have a good game and can you build on that moving forward. But you got to know, like, hey, it's not going to be this easy moving into the next few games. Like, they're going to be physical. They're going to actually put up a fight, because you just didn't really see that whenever – you were playing tonight. I mean, it's just like, it's sad. Like, I mean, that would be my biggest frustration if I was Stackhouse with my team. It's like, I just didn't really see much hustle.
No.
So
not a lot of fight out there.
Yeah. The effort was just piss poor.
865-546-8200. If you want to chime in on the Volunteer Your Action, we're brought to you tonight by our friends at Miller Lite. We appreciate their sponsorship and support of Voluntary Reaction throughout basketball season, and Tennessee hanging in there, man. You know, it's has not been a great season. I don't think anybody is ready to crown this team after tonight. I think we all understand just, you know, what the extent of Vanderbilt's struggles are right now, but it's always fun to beat Vanderbilt in Nashville. And at 11-6 and 3-2, and again, this is a big game coming up Tuesday night. This is a big game against Ole Miss. I mean, you got to find out, a way to win. They're coming into your house. You got the game at home. You're talking about Ole Miss is 0-3 now, I believe, in conference play, 9-7 overall. They're not very good. They lost. They're playing LSU right now. I can't imagine they would win that one.
They still got Brennan Tyree.
Yeah.
But
they have the dude with the not trying to be mean, he's got the vitiligo, the skin disease.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually pretty good. Nice player.
I can't think of his name. Right now, the ESPN BPI has you at a 80.7% chance of winning that one over Ole Miss.
It's a big one. It's one of those games I said earlier, we haven't lost to a bad team. This would kind of be in that territory. And I know they're an SEC team, but I don't think they're very good. And you don't want to give them their first conference win of the season on your home floor. Mm-hmm. 12-6, 4-2 in league play is a pretty good position to be in my opinion, going into the Kansas game.
Yeah.
And again, I don't harbor any I would love to win that game, obviously, but Kansas is number 6 in the country for a reason. They were number 1 a couple of weeks ago. They're 12-3. I don't know a ton about their roster, but
they still got Ozabuki.
Yeah.
Who he and did some light. The guy
Devin Dotson.
Dotson, yeah. He
went to Grant Williams School, I believe.
I think he's been their best player this year, but I want to say he was out a game or two ago.
Huh? That could change things. And again, you said ESPN College Game Day is going to be there for that one.
Yeah, I was very surprised to hear that, but apparently that's the case. I just gave you the BPI predictor for Tennessee versus Ole Miss, and Tennessee had over an 80% chance of winning that one. Right now, Kansas has a 91.9% chance of beating you, according to the Basketball Power Index.
91? I mean, I would have thought like 75 or 80. 91, really?
Yeah, Devin Dotson's averaging 18 points on the year. He is shooting over 46% from the floor and over 80% from free throw land.
What is an acceptable outcome of that game, in your opinion?
Acceptable?
Keep it under 20.
I would say 15 for acceptable. Because, I mean, they're averaging right now, Kansas is averaging, they're averaging 77 points a game, and they're holding their opponents to 60 a game. So, just with kind of what I think, like, I think Kansas is good, but I still think, like, we haven't seen Tennessee really go on the road and play well this year. So, it's like,
Ozabuki seems like a really bad matchup for Fulkerson, too. I mean, he's tough. I know he'll battle, but that's a lot of size he's given up.
Yeah, he's averaging 9.3 rebounds a game. Ozabuki is.
What happened to him? Did he foul out last year? Like, he got in early foul trouble.
That was the one game I did not watch last year.
Yeah, I think he got in early foul trouble against us, and then.
I mean, I know we went to overtime and just couldn't pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
That game was on a neutral site.
The dude who the transfer from Memphis, the Lawson brother, just torched us.
KJ.
Whichever one they had,
yeah.
he just torched us in that game. All right, last call here, 865-546-8200. You want to talk Tennessee basketball, you want to talk Tennessee Titans, you want to talk anything else going on in the world, go ahead and give a shout now. 546-8200 is your number. And while we wait for a final call or two, one thing that we do need to address, since this is voluntary reaction, is what appears to be today the conclusion of the Jay Hardy saga. And we'll reset this for you. Talked a little bit about it on my halftime Periscope. But if for those of you who don't follow college football recruiting closely, Jay Hardy is probably the best in-state prospect in football this year. I know the Grimes kid is rated higher than him, but I don't think Tennessee even – I don't think any SEC schools offered him that he wanted to go to anyway. I know the Tennessee coaches feel like Jay Hardy was the best. Him and Omari Thomas, who did sign with us, were probably the best prospects in state this year. Jay Hardy appeared to be a Tennessee lean for a long time. He goes to McCauley School in Chattanooga. Tennessee is aggressively recruiting him since the day Pruitt and staff set foot on campus, well over a year. Austin Price over at VolQuest.com actually filmed a commitment video for Jay Hardy. Austin has talked about this over on their website. Filmed the commitment video where he picks Tennessee and was, I think they had a date set sometime in the fall to announce the commitment and drop the video. A week or so before that date, he takes a visit to Auburn. And Austin, of course, having filmed the video, is telling people it's a mere formality. I think shortly after he gets back from that Auburn visit, he commits to Auburn. Devastating blow for Tennessee recruiting. I mean, this is four-star in-state defensive lineman, a guy you have to get. And it's not like he's from Memphis or Nashville. I mean, he's from East Tennessee. And so Tennessee, all's fair in love and recruiting, not going to give up on Jay Hardy. We continue to recruit him into the early signing period. And the thought was, look, if we can just convince him not to sign in the early signing period, which I think ran from like the 15th to the 19th or something, and if we can just convince him not to sign in December, we can, you know, hit the reset button, go down there and recruit him, still got an in-home visit with his family, go in there and maybe flip him at the end. And that's what happened. He did not sign in the early signing period. Or so the Germans would have us believe. Earlier today, by the way, yesterday, Tennessee continues to recruit him. So they're calling the kid, evidently having conversations with him and all this stuff. Pruitt sends Derek Ansley, Tracy Rocker, and Kevin Scherer down to Chattanooga to watch Jay Hardy play basketball last night. And Austin, who did a terrific job covering this thing from pillar to post, reports last or maybe earlier today. First of all, he reports that he has learned that Jay Hardy did in fact
sign
with Auburn during the early signing period, which is nuts because you can't continue to recruit a player who's already signed. But Tennessee didn't know this, so he's lying to our coaches the entire time, saying, "Oh yeah, we can talk, we keep recruiting me and all this stuff." Evidently, at that basketball game last night, he snuck out some back door just to avoid our coaches. And then once it was reported that he had signed in the early signing period, Auburn officially announced it today on Twitter. "We'd like to welcome Jay Hardy to the signing class," and all that stuff. Oh, by the way, when Austin tweeted out earlier today that he had learned that he had signed, Jay Hardy responded to the tweet saying, "I haven't signed." Just a blatant lie.
I believe that tweet has been deleted. I was not able to find it.
I mean, I saw it earlier. It happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw the screenshots of it. I'm just saying, like, he's gone back and somebody's gotten his ear and said, like, "Hey, you got to get rid of this."
So, I mean, that's a new one. I've heard all kinds of crazy stories. I mean, they're getting, like, guys whose mom wouldn't let them sign, like, coaches basically kidnapping players so that rival schools couldn't recruit them. Players that have signed with two different teams on signing day, like all kinds of crazy stuff. This is a new one. This is a new one where the kid actually signs and continues to lie to everybody. The coaches that are recruiting him from rival schools, the media that continues to cover his recruitment.
Yeah.
This story is completely nuts.
I mean, you got to be pissed if you're Tennessee's coaching staff. Absolutely. Because like, we know now that whenever you've gotten to the point where you have the early signing period, once you got a lot of those guys on lock, you're able to put almost all your resources. Granted, they're still looking for the next year, but there's fewer guys left that you're able to bring in for this coming recruiting class. So you're going to put a lot of effort into getting the guys you think you still have a chance with. And again, like you mentioned, Jay Hardy, Tennessee guy. He is came to visit. The coaches have been in constant contact with him, and you even sent three guys last night to go watch his game when they could have been doing something else as far as trying to land some other bigger names.
Which I think is the point. We got Rodney Garnard here. Rodney Garnard, one of the best recruiters in the country, used to coach at Tennessee. He's the guy who recruited Jamal Lewis, Deion Grant, Cozy Coleman back in the mid-90s. He's the guy that flipped Jay Hardy, and I would be willing to bet you a month's salary that he put the kid up to this and said, yeah, just go ahead, let him come down there. Because what you just said, Davey, it takes our defensive coordinator and two of our assistants off the trail and basically sends them on a wild goose chase, completely wastes a day from our staff. I mean, it's shrewd. We would probably do it too. But, I mean, that is what recruiting in the SEC has become, man. Mm-hmm. It is vicious. It is cutthroat. It is shady. It is unscrupulous. It is complete and all-out war, and there is no honor in it.
Yeah. And as it relates to just recruiting news as well, I saw that the offensive guard out of Texas, Kyrie Miller, I don't know if you guys covered this on the drive the other day, he has opened up his recruitment. But he's a guy, like, I mean, he'd been committed to Tennessee, but you thought he's probably one of those guys that's going to get processed. And so
I think us getting Cade Mays probably sealed the deal on him not being a part of this class.
I would say that's fair. And
D. Beckwith is on campus tomorrow, I believe, okay, for his official visit.
The only other recruit.
Well, actually, he's already on campus today because I think I saw it where he was tweeting out pictures.
Oh, nice. The only other recruit, Darian Williamson.
Yeah.
He's the only other one I know that is technically committed but has not signed.
It sounds like he might go to Florida State.
There's a chance that happens. And as it goes for the transfers, Cade Mays still pending eligibility. Velus Jones Jr., he is a grad transfer, so he's immediately eligible. And what's the Nebraska kid, Miles Jones?
Is that? Yeah.
But I think he might be a preferred walk-on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a couple of I think the Weidman from Florida is visiting. He's a four-star receiver prospect who's been committed to Florida State for a long time. And then they really like a kid named Jakari Caldwell out of South Carolina, who's I think he's like a two-star maybe on Rivals, but Tennessee loves him, and South Carolina wants him really bad too. So it sounds like we might be adding another receiver before it's all said and done. But I know some folks don't love the recruiting stuff, but in my opinion, it's when you're where we are, which is 7-5, 5-7 the year before, the only way you get out of it is to recruit your way out of it. We need players. And losing Jay Hardy today, I mean, like, I know fans are pissed at it. It's a blow, man. I mean, that's in arguably next to quarterback, the most important position on the field is defensive line. And that stinks to lose one in your home and to really not only losing, but to kind of get screwed with your pants on in the process.
Yeah. I'm curious, and Russ, you might know the answer, but I thought, like, once they're signed, more than just the school knows that, like, the coaches are aware at that point, like, once a letter of intent has actually been placed. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a system that goes through to where other schools are able to know, because that way you wouldn't have the recruiting violations.
So. I mean, yeah, that sounds...
If that were to be the case.
Yeah, I thought about that earlier, like... I had heard rumors, I had not confirmed this, but I had heard rumors that Tennessee was not happy about, even back when Jay Hardy recruited committed to Auburn, that they felt like there was some funny business going on there. And there might have been some conversations with the league office and stuff like that over all that. So I can't imagine that if all this is true, if the kid had signed back in December and had deliberately wasted Tennessee's time for over a month in recruiting him to the extent that we would send three guys down there to watch him play basketball yesterday, and Auburn knew about all this, I would imagine that Philip Fulmer would be raising holy hell with Greg Sankey about it at this moment.
It's kind of like, I mean, breaking news on this is like, I mean, Austin Price put something out. There's another guy named Brian Stultz who I think covers Auburn, but he said that the Vols coaches could have spent 5 seconds and found out Hardy had signed with Auburn. They didn't or were unaware that they could. And then Austin Price quote tweeted that about 10 minutes ago and says, Vols checked said website at midnight on the final day of the early signing period and nothing was there, whereas Darnell Washington and Zach Evans to Georgia was. So we, at that point, they knew that there was information that Washington had already signed with Georgia. I know that was a thing that Tennessee fans were holding out hope as far as getting him, but and then Price went on to say, at some point you take a kid at his word, which amounted to nothing as the charade continued on with, I haven't signed yet today. Obviously that I haven't signed yet in quotes, because that's what Hardy responded to Austin Price's tweet.
So there's a website where it's posted when a prospect signs with the school?
I guess I'm still trying to do more.
Like, I don't understand. Like, they, you know, he signed and it didn't go through. Tennessee looked and it just wasn't there. This whole situation sounds just shady as hell.
I appreciate Shawnee. She just sent that tweet I just read in as well. Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of the things. It's just weird. Like, I'm trying to find more and do some digging here, but it's just one of those situations. Like, I haven't seen anything like it. I don't know. Like, I figured this is an issue you would kind of have resolved in today and age whenever as much, like, you have technology at the palm of your hand as far as this information going into a compiled database to where coaches know, like, all right, if you were to continue recruiting this kid who has already signed, we have that paper in. It's obviously a recruiting violation because, I mean, you know, you can't, like, kind of go out and try to poach players from schools unless they're in the recruiting transfer portal.
If what the Auburn writer says is true and that information had been public, not public, but, you know, common knowledge within coaching circles, like if it had been posted on that website for some time and we sent guys down there, like that is on us. And that is a, that's a, like, somebody's got, I can't imagine with all the people that Pruitt has on staff and player development, the recruiting office and himself, I'm guessing he has access to this website, that they're not checking it every day for situations like this. If we didn't, and that information had been on this website for days or weeks,
yeah,
and we just were unaware of it, that's a bad look, man. That's a failure of the system right there. So, I mean, I think you can't say, look, Auburn's behavior in this was shady. The kid is obviously very immature, but I think you also might, without knowing all the facts, I mean, if that scenario I just laid out is where it's at, then some of that's on Tennessee too.
Yeah. And I think we'll find out more information as the week kind of gets here. Cause again, like, all this kind of broke today as far as finding this out, but yeah, it's kind of a new one. I figured like this isn't something you kind of expect to happen.
Kind of puts a bad taste in your mouth. Like, the recruiting class for where we were 5-7 the year before, 7-5 this year, to be right on the fringe of the top 10, a top 15 signing class is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting Jay Hardy in itself, I don't think would be enough to bump you up into the top 10. But, I mean, it's just about, you know, sealing the borders on your state, getting the in-state prospects you want, position of need, important position, and to just get played like this kind of sucks. You know, you wish you'd just...
Not ideal.
You just go ahead and sign in the early period and announce it, you know, and then we could all move on.
Yeah, right now, Rivals has you as the 11th class for 2020, and 24/7 Sports has us at 16th.
Which is decent.
Yeah.
Considering, but Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah, when you're 7th in the SEC, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Like, I mean, if you're higher up on that. Well, but again, there's not a whole lot of
that's
room
what
between.
I've always thought that's misleading when you say, hey, they're only 7th in the SEC. Yeah, what's the difference between number 7 in the SEC and number 4? Like, it's negligible.
I will say the top 3, they're kind of light years ahead of everybody else right now.
If you're recruiting at that Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State clip where you're in the top 4 or 5 and you've signed multiple 5-star prospects and, you know, out of 25 guys, you've got like 3 or 4 5-stars, 24 stars, and like 1 or 2 3-stars. Yeah, that's going to show up over time.
Yeah, with Rivals, I mean, there's not a huge difference between the Texas A&M, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee's, right? They're all kind of in that general vicinity.
So it's about player development and
really just having a good quarterback too.
Let's not get into that. Can we wrap up? I'm JG'd out for.
I wasn't even going to bring him up. I was just saying, hey, having a good quarterback makes a difference.
I've got some thoughts on that, but it's 9 o'clock. And
yeah,
I want to be out of here before 10. You know?
No, I hear you. I'm completely in agreement.
All right. Vols 66, Vandy 45, Tennessee wins in Nashville. We will be live with you Tuesday night. It'll be a late night for John Reed and company after the Ole Miss game. about 11 o'clock tip there, or 9 o'clock tip, so about 11 o'clock volunteer reaction tip-off for that one. So be sure to check that out. Davey Hudson, closing thoughts.
I'm happy the Vols won. I am very happy they decided to actually start playing in the second half. But again, like, all my attention right now is focused on tomorrow come 3 o'clock, and set it on a 3-and-out the other morning. My prediction is the Titans will beat the Chiefs 28-24. I'm expecting a good game. I'm expected to be celebrating going to the Super Bowl, which is like really the first time I'll ever actually get to enjoy that experience. Because like back in 99, I was 5 years old. It's like I'm not really able to comprehend that all that well. So I'm just ready to tighten up. And Russ, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, it's a nice win tonight over Vanderbilt. And look, are we a great team? No. Are we a good team? Not really, probably not. But I think we can become a good team. I think we've got some good pieces. And I think if Rick Barnes goes out there and earns that big salary, then that he could cobble together something that would put us on the bubble at the end of the year. The next one is huge. Ole Miss is a must-win game coming up on Tuesday night at Thompson Bowling Arena. So hopefully a quick turnaround here. We can get ready to go out there and win that one. And then we'll see where the rest of the season takes us. There's a lot of basketball left to be played. There isn't a dominant team in this league. And Tennessee has they've got some work to do, but I think they can play a lot better than they've shown through these first five conference games. So we'll see if they can continue to develop towards that next level of play, and it should be fun to watch. Tighten up, Davey. Hopefully next week we can sit together in here watching the Vols play Kansas, hopefully not embarrassing ourselves too badly, and then talk about a Titans team playing in the Super Bowl. That would be a whole lot of fun. So tighten up and let's get that W tomorrow, because that's the big one. I want to thank Miller Lite for their sponsorship of the show. Davey's going to have the podcast up in case you missed any of it. Go back and listen to that, and that'll wrap things up. Be sure to tune in for more Fan Run Radio starting Monday morning at 7 a.m. with 3 and Out right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.